Because, you know, I always, when I was going to church, we drove 40 minutes, and I was raised poverty. Now, I'm like, it cost me $4 to go up there. It was cheap then, gas, you know, back under in the 90s. But $4 was a chunk of money, man. I mean, I made $220 a week, you know, pretty much then when I got saved. But I always thought, I'm not going to church to waste my time. I'm not going to waste my time. If I'm going to go to church, then I'm going to get all that God has for me in that service. You know, and I had my mind set at that. And I tell you, I mean, there wasn't no services that I can really count unless I was in a wrong spirit and wasn't believing that I didn't leave church with some kind of nugget or inspiration. Or most of the time, me and Teresa leave church and we couldn't shut up. I mean, it was just, we'd been in the presence of God and it changed us. And the praise team leader, he'd always get up and he'd say, in God's presence, everything else melts away. Nothing else matters, you know. And so I really, really learned that as early on as a Christian by being attentive in church, you know. And so, anyways, if you're not believing, go ahead and shift gears and get into place of expectation. And God spoke to me a title, you know, and it just, and when he does that, I mean, I don't have nothing else. I mean, usually, you know, he'll speak something to me, you know, and I'll be like, now what, you know, and I go to wondering, you know, and pondering and just meditating on what God's speaking to me. How many knows you need to do that, not just to get a message? If God's speaking something to you, you know, in your life, but if I was going to title it, it'd be God is turning things around. And God's turning, and I put it on Facebook this morning, you know, about going to church. I said, some go, you know where God wants you to be, go to church today. God, don't sit on the sidelines. God wants to turn things around personally. And then I put on there, I said, because I believe it. I spoke to this congregation 3 months ago, and God spoke to me, and God told me, he said, this nation is divided. And we don't have to have a word from the Lord. All we got to do is look, you know. This nation is divided, he said, and the church is divided. He was talking about in a whole. He wasn't talking about just here. You know, he said, but I'm going to bring the nation together. He said, and I'm going to bring the churches together. I said it here 2 or 3 months ago. And we saw that happen. We saw that happen, you know. I mean, statistics say that there has been, over the last several election cycles, especially, you know, presidential election, that Christians didn't get involved. There was over 40 million statistics show Christians didn't vote over the years. Look, we're not talking about Alabama and Auburn game when you're talking about the United States of America's president or governors or our sheriffs or, you know, all the way down that we're hiring. I'm not talking as a pastor right now. I'm talking as I've been paying taxes all my life. Ever since I've been working, I've been paying every week, and you do. That is your money. That's yours. And we trust people to take our money and keep our God-given rights in law. Right? That's what we pay them for. We pay them to take the Constitution of the United States of America and lay their hand on the Bible, which some hadn't in the past, wouldn't do it, and swear to us that they would make a promise to us that they would keep that. And so this year, I saw the nation. You can see it when you see who rose up across the nation and voted for righteousness. People can agree or disagree. What that means is I'm the pastor, and if you know farewell that I'm going out and I'm flirting with women and stuff, you know, and I say, well, you know, God's good. We got to love everybody. You're not going to go along with that, are you? Then I'm okay. Are you going to go along with that? Why? Lest you shall not commit adultery. Right? Thou shalt not lust after women. Right? It's in the Bible. You won't go along with that because you know that it's not right. You know that it's not right to abort, but we won. See, but it's not even in the federal system. It's not even in that. It's down to the states. Now, you know what that means? You that are Christians are going to be able to cast your vote whether you're going to go along and agree. It ain't got nothing to do with the government no more. You are going to go along and agree with babies, these little fine, beautiful babies being killed that don't get a chance to live like we do. See, that's coming up in 2 years. You got 2 years to pray and see what you're going to do. Right? See, now, it's not politics that I'm talking about. I'm talking about I voted for my right to prosper in my business. I voted for my right to preach this Bible to you. I've been banned off of Twitter. I've been banned off of YouTube because I told the congregation to stand up and believe God against that coronavirus. I was accused of spreading disinformation because the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. The Bible says, no plague will come nigh my dwelling, Psalms 91. I got what I was saying, preaching the gospel, and I was shut down. I was threatened to take my 501c if I preached this Bible. But you know what God did? God turned things around. God turned it around. No more are you going to have to be concerned about speaking your convictions. No more have I got to be concerned because I don't never get afraid. I'm not afraid. The Bible says that God didn't give you a spirit of fear, timidity, cowardness, but He gave you power and love and a sound mind. And that's what keeps you through dark times. That's what keeps you through tragedy. That's what keeps you through loss. That's what keeps you through despair. That's what keeps you through sickness and disease and oppression and depression. That's what keeps you whenever your job is oppressing you. Right? That's what keeps you when it looks like they're going to cut back your hours. Or you hear, a guy told me one time, I went back all the way to 2004 to see if I'm still preaching the same thing that I'm preaching in 2024, and I can't find any different messages. You know why? Because the Word said it back under when I got saved. It said, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. And then I read it now in 2024, unless you get a new written version they're writing. Did you know they're rewriting the Bible? And they're making sure that we don't offend people that ain't lining up with the Bible. They're trying to make sure that it's user-friendly Bible. I find in my Bible, God says that thy set before you life and death, you choose. I find that God gives people choice to choose His way, and then His blessing comes on that. I'm not against anybody. I've got people that you know, they maybe felt like they were born, and maybe they were born and God made a mistake or something, you know. And I tell them, well, according to God's Word, you're created in His image and likeness. And so you've got to identify with that. Well, that can offend people on a big stage. Well, you know what? To tell me that my God made a mistake, that he's up there and He made a bad mistake, you know, and he didn't know how everybody should feel, that's insulting to me. That's degrading the one that created me. That's degrading the one that I'm the one that had the double-aught buckshot, fixing to blow my brains out because I didn't feel like life was worth living anymore. And then this God that loves everybody steps in. And then you know what He did? He began to bring me out of the lifestyle that I was leading, that was leading my wife and my son down a road of destruction. See, the Bible says, it's very clear. It says, if the blind leads the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. I don't follow people that's not going to believe God. I can talk to them, get around them and all of that. But when it comes to the Word and my convictions based on the Word of God, I don't hang with that party. Because that party, and I'm not talking about a party, that people will influence my believing. See, you can choose to doubt. Somebody says, I don't know if God will work out for me or come through for me. And I doubt He's not. How do you know? I believe. Well, you ain't seen it. I don't have to. Because he said, Travis told me the other day, he said, Dad, you know, you told me you'd help me with my building. I said, yeah, you sure I will. He says, well, there's one thing I do know, Dad. He said, because of your life, you've lived before me for all of my life. He said, you will help me. I said, sure will. I told you I would. And then I told him, I said, that's the way God is. If God says, I'll supply all of your needs, then why are you worried? If God says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed, why are you concerned about the doctor's report? Right? You just believe what he said and you stand against it and you rebuke it. Some people say, well, God's a big God. God can do what he wants to do. No, God can only do what me and you allow him to do in our life by faith, by our faith, by our serving him, by our going forward, our walk with him. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I was telling Monty and them in Sunday school, God is turning things around in your life. I'm not just talking about the election. It's over. The Bible says, forgetting those things behind, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God through Christ Jesus. And just like Teresa talked about, you know, I'm not an Auburn fan, but I love y'all. Okay? You might not be an Alabama fan, but we love one another. Right? Just like Teresa talked about, she said, you know what, we voted the way we, everybody voted the way they voted. Now it's time to move forward. We got what we got, and let's unify, and let's go forward. That's a powerful statement right there. So we're out being the peacemakers, hallelujah. We're out being the peacemakers, and we believe God. No matter how we voted, let's believe God together that God's will come to pass on this planet. We're talking about God's will. We're talking about God's plan. We're talking about our future is bright with God's plan in it. God turned my marriage around. I was on the back porch yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Teresa talking about believing. She's all stirred up about something. She's into this all the time, you know. I mean, she's just fired up all the time. And just talking about faith and everything. I looked and she's sitting over there and said, yeah, I said, results of my faith, there's my package. Well, she's sitting on the back porch rocking. Her and Travis talking. That's the result of my believing. Look what I believe for. I got it. Kept it now 38, 9 years. Hallelujah. Well, I had a lot of reasons back there. She was barely saved, and she means she was barely saved. When you barely saved, you're still almost lost. I mean, if you was mean, you're still mean. I mean, if you was angry, you're still angry. I mean, most of the time, this flesh, our flesh and emotions and all that don't get born again. I mean, it does not get born again. Our spirit gets born again. Then we have to start walking with God. And as we walk with God, we start to develop the attributes of God. I mean, we start to develop the character of God. We begin to talk like God. We begin to think like God. What I mean by that, I used to shoot birds all the time and hope they'd run me down. Well, I don't ever shoot a bird anymore. I don't have the thought. But I did there for years or three. Shoot them over there. It'll feel good. Just one more time for old time's sake. Well, you know, I don't shoot birds. And why? Because I'm a new man. I worked on the character of God, and God was turning things around in my life. Still turning things around. I'm more excited about the future than I am the past. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. Yes, life has its blows. It has its chapters. It has its seasons. Hallelujah. You know, Aiden started, you know, he started doing things on his own. I told Teresa, I said, uh-oh. She said, what is it? This is back down there when he's about two or three. I said, he's thinking by himself now. I said, that's not good. Well, he wasn't getting into anything. Now he starts thinking on his own. Now you got to chase him over to the TV. You got to make sure he don't fall off the porch. Why? He's thinking on his own. And I was thinking, oh, man, it sure was good when he's in that bassinet and all I had to do is keep him crying. Well, seasons change, right? And I had to change with the season, you know? And now it's different. He's 7 years old next month, you know, and it's a lot different now, you know? Everywhere he goes, he leaves my Polaris running. I went out the day and he's up there watching something and I heard something running. I thought, what's that? Well, he don't want to shut it off because I got combinations to things. And so if he shuts it off, he's going to have to get Papa to help him. So he's just going to leave it running for half a day. If he gets ready to go, he's going to go get back on it. And I'm thinking, oh my God, what's wrong with the boy? I mean, he's burning my gas up. Next thing, Papa, I think it's out of gas. And I'm like, I wonder why. You ain't shut it off in 2 days, Aiden. I mean, you know, and so things are changing. But I praise God for him. I praise God for my grandson. See, you got to praise God for the things that could be a challenge to you. That's not, but that's just a little example. You got to praise God because in order for God to turn things around, well, just like we come together one Sunday night. And I mean, to be honest with you, and I told him yesterday, I was talking about it, you know, men's meeting yesterday. That was very good, Monty, very good. I mean, the man's been under fire all week. And I mean, he looked shot when he got here, but he looked like he had a miracle for you when he got out behind the pulpit. You seen it. You experienced it. The anointing. That's that corporate anointing, and that's that anointing that destroys them yokes and lifts those burdens. Hallelujah. And I didn't look at him and say, oh my God, I don't know if he ought to get up there or not. I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I'm pastor of that church. I said, and I'm not going pastoring and wondering if I'm raising up people that's going to quit under fire. Right? Preaching this God, the gospel is the power of God. Right? Well, I said, I'm fine, you know, here comes. I said, and I hear, what was her name? I forgot it. Samantha. I forgot your name. Here she comes all in here, you know, and I mean, she's like, prayer and praise and prayer and praise, prayer, 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 prayer. And I'm thinking, God, man, because I'm like, no, preach, preach, preach. And she's like, prayer, prayer, prayer. And I'm like, you know, and so she's talking about prayer. This has been 2 or 3 years ago. She's talking about prayer, you know, and prayer, prayer. And I thought, man, there's something about that. And then she mentioned, you know, she says, well, she says, I'm going to have a prayer closet. Just talking to somebody. I don't know who it was. Talking to somebody about prayer closet or her house or something, you know. And I told Teresa, I said, we just need to give her an offering. We need to back that up, you know, and everything. And so I mean, Teresa, give her an offering. May have done forgot about it. But we give her an offering, you know, promoting that, you know. And to help her, I mean, since it's in her heart, it's, you know, if you're after God, we'll see it. You see me this morning. If I'm after God, and it's really easy, all I got to do is keep putting wood on the fire of my heart. All I got to do is pray. All I got to do is fast a little every now and then. All I got to do is listen to praise and worship. And all I really got to do is try and work on keeping my mind on the Lord and off my troubles. And this will keep you motivated towards the things of God. That'll keep you hungry. It's not really hard to stay on fire. It's not hard to, you cannot get burnt out by walking in faith. When you're walking in faith, you don't burn out, you burn things up. Well, you know, Nietzsche comes in, I have a prayer and praise, and from 5 to 6, and you know, and blah blah, whatever. I said, well, just see when, you know. And I thought, oh my God, what have I done? Told her, let's go for it. Now that's another day that I'm going to be challenged to go. Right? Some more ministry I've got an agreement with. Well, and then she's like, well, and hold now, we're no preaching, and just, you know, we're going to praise. And I'm thinking, a whole hour? God, I can't pray an hour. I've never been able to pray a full hour, man. I mean, Good Lord, I mean, I get things done with God in 3 minutes. I mean, I go in there and bless God, and I lay hold of it, and I believe it, and I receive it, and I get up and walk out. Now I got to go down there. See, and what I'm saying is, see, I mean, and it was a challenge. And I told them guys, I said, I'd be lying to you if I sit here and told you what I just loved, was ecstatic. I mean, I'd be a hypocrite, man, you know. But I backed it up, and we come together, and we begin to pray. And then she puts these things. This was really God to me, you know, because I'm like, glory to God, after the first one, because she's got about 40 minutes. That's how long it takes, that about 40 minutes to go around. She's got praying for the presidents, praying for the elections, praying for the brokenhearted, praying for the addictions, the teenagers, identity, and different things, and all that stuff. So I'm like, glory to God. Well, about 40 minutes, I'm like, whoo, started over again. Good Lord. I didn't pray for that. I got to pray for something else here. And so I'm like, but anyways, my point, and I told him, I said, but we've hung in here for about a year doing that. I said, and we've come together, and we've all come in agreement. And the Bible says in James chapter 5:16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. We are the righteous. And the fervent means heartfelt. It means it ain't phony. It means that we're really believing God. We're really in our heart believing that God's going to do it. Well, we prayed for the election. We prayed for righteousness to reign. And this had been a war in the last 5 years of light and darkness. If you can't see it, pray and ask God to open the eyes of your understanding. Because the way that the Bible says strong meat belongs to those that have their senses exercised, that they know good and evil. Now, the only way that me and you are really going to know good and evil is, one, number one, by the Spirit that's in us, the Spirit of truth and the Word of God. The psalmist David said, Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That's why I'm not divorced today, because I took the word where God hates divorce. I wanted to divorce my wife more than once. I mean, I would like, there's been times, not recently, but there's been times where I would be like, give her all of it. It'd be worth it for you to have nothing and start again by yourself. You ever felt that way about situations and things? And I'm not telling you, no. Oni told me, she said, you say things I can't say with my wife around. I said, my wife knows what I'm saying. I mean, when she gets up here and tells these stories how I was abusive and all of that, and all, you know, I'm not shocked that she's saying that I was it. Now she's taking that and saying, if we can make it, you can make it. If God can do it for us, God can do it for you. There's nothing too big for God. That's all we're saying. And so we're in here and we're praying and you know, I mean, I'm not one just to sit still. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, whether I'm here or what, you know, and I'm over and I'm like, oh, shut up, please, shut up. Cut that mind off, because I'll start thinking about my cows and start thinking about tomorrow and garage doors and what I could be doing and all of that. You know, you have to shut all that down. And then we come in agreement. And you know what we saw? I told them yesterday, I said, we did that and we were steadfast in that. And we saw, and we ain't seen nothing yet. It's not just that. We're praying for identity crisis for our kids, our young kids. We're praying for the school systems, that God will reign in our school system, because they're molding our kids. Our schools are molding our kids. And the leaders of our school are molding our kids. So in that prayer, we're praying that righteousness would reign from our house to the White House. And we're believing God to you. Look, for God's way of being and doing to be done, He needs you. Yeah. He needs you in your house. He needs you, you know, I was thinking about Jeffrey yesterday. I was watching him. He's, ain't you a coach? That is awesome. I mean, he's a coach. I mean, I'm looking out there and I'm like, he's coaching these babies. I thought, he's a Christian. What if we had a little devil out there teaching them? Oh, y'all blankety blank, y'all stupid. Y'all were stupid. What are y'all stupid? You dropped the ball. Stupid, stupid, stupid. They'll end up, we're just stupid. Why? Because they believe what them adults say. It goes in. It affects them, praise God. And I thought, glory to God. You got a Christian. Jeffrey, he's a Christian. He loves God. He wants what God wants. He wants God. He wants, that's how righteousness reigns. Because me and you take it from our house all the way to, we took it to the White House. Even the Amish, they don't get involved in voting. I mean, they're self-sufficient people, man. They serve God, and they're self-sufficient. Well, they got oppressed 2 years ago by the government. They seized some of their stuff and told them, you can't live this way, and we're going to govern y'all. Well, you know what they did? God says, y'all better get up and fight. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold. God sent awakening call to them, and probably, I don't know what he said to them, I don't know, but they rose up, Christians rose up this year all over the world, and God brought even people that weren't. I mean, he brought an awakening till it was too big to be unnoticed, that it had to be God. Had to be God. And I told Travis, I said, now, you know, God is moving this nation to where it is going to prosper with the gospel. See, what you don't realize, Christianity as we know it was fixing to take an end. If this last administration got it control, they shut the church down, businesses down, using COVID. If you can't see that, I mean, it's simple. They put out a mandate from the CDC or whatever that didn't even have the right to be putting that garbage out, giving them that kind of information to come and suppress the world. People lost their jobs because they believe that God's their healer, and they chose not to take the... I was called a people killer. You might not have heard about it because I'm, come on to church, we got this and hand sanitizer and we got masks and, you know, but most of all, we got the Word of God in Psalms 91 that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. We got the Word of God in effect there. And I got blasted. I got blasted, you know, through local and other people, you know. You're just a killer. You don't care about people. And I'm like, I've been caring about people for 30 years since I got saved. I used to want to kill a bunch of people, and I'm not even wanting to kill nobody lately, maybe you. You know, what that was, see, that was oppression. That was demonic oppression through people. If Satan's going to work in your life, he needs a vessel. I used to tell God, I would say, God, the one that I married, which was Teresa, the one that's one of the best Sunday school teachers on the planet to me, one of them. Yeah, there's a lot of them. But I went to her one time because she was a little hellion in my house. You know, after I got saved, I told him, I said, maybe I married the devil, devil's daughter. Maybe, I mean, I was lost. I mean, maybe I should divorce her, get rid of her, and then I can serve you. And I mean, you know, I go to church. I'm not telling you a story. This is life, man. I mean, I go to church and then I come in because she was jealous. How many women did you lay hands on? I mean, that'll make you want to quit being a Christian. God, y'all are quiet. But you know what? I would be like, I'd take that scripture over there. This has been a lot of years ago now. I mean, a lot. We were, Satan was trying to destroy us before we got saved and after we got saved. So I would take that scripture and I'd take it and I'd say, I'm forgetting those things behind. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And then I begin to think, no, I know God brought us together. I know there's a purpose. There's a purpose God brought us together. Well, she's trying to change me and I'm trying to change her. Y'all husbands and wives don't need to be doing that. God is the life changer. He's the life changer. We just each one make up our hearts. We're going to love our wives or submit to our husbands or whatever. And we're going to walk in that. And God does the inside transformation by His Spirit. And we see, we can't do this thing on our own and in our own strength. But when we make choices for righteousness and God's things, then here comes God's favor, God's grace, God's ability, God's wisdom. All of that comes, you know. So I made up my mind. I'm reading in there, and I read in there where God hates divorce. And I thought, man, I hate He hates that, because that takes away an option for me. You know? And now that happens. That's been 25 years, 27, 8 years, long time. She got my back. I got her back. We lay our life down for each other, you know. And it's all because of Jesus. But you know, I mean, whenever we're walking with the Lord, I mean, Satan don't want us to see a big picture. I'm sitting in my living room one time, you know, and I'm just all about my world and going to the, you know. And this preacher, he said, what you need is a world vision. I thought, what is he talking about, a world vision? He said, you need a vision past your living room. He said, you need a vision past where you work. He said, there's a vast world that God wants you to be a part of outside of your little arena. You need a world vision. And I'm like, man, what is he talking about? So next day or three, I'm thinking about that. World vision. What is he talking about, a world vision? Well, when God told me to start a church, I'm sitting right here and I'm looking up, and I still didn't understand it at that time, but I'm looking up out through the end of this building, and God, and the Spirit of the Lord was in here with me, and the Lord said, you see a church. He said, but I see generations. He said, you're looking to do this church. He said, but I'm seeing generations. And then I'm like, wow. And I started thinking about it. I thought, well, they will be generations. If mom comes and you know, and then their son comes with kids, and then their son comes with kids, and then all of that, you know, and there's about five generations of Teresa's family in here, three or four, five. Five generations of Teresa's family in here right now. You know, so God, see what I'm saying is, you can't just look at how things are right now in your life and just live in the moment and think. You got to think long term. If you think long term, you'll begin to do like God. You'll say, it don't matter what it looks like. My family's getting, most of my family doesn't give her heart to Jesus. Yeah, I'm with a bunch of heathens 30 years ago. Ooh, Jesus. I mean, I thought that God's not big enough to save this family. That's how rough it was. But I was wrong, Johnny. You know, but God's turning things. God told me to tell you. He said, tell him I'm turning things around. He's turning things around for you spiritually. He's going, I mean, you're going to experience God in a deeper way. You're going to experience His presence. And as you pursue that presence, you're going to experience breakthroughs in your family, breakthroughs in your body, breakthroughs in the financial realm. Praise God. I mean, you know, it's still like it's just like me. I don't need anything far as in the natural that I know of right now. I don't need anything, you know. But I get bored when I'm not believing God. I mean, it's like I get bored. I mean, it's like there's got to be more. There's got to be more to believe God for. I got to believe Him. So we come in here, and all of y'all that are in the ministry, make room for other folk, because we come in agreement, believe for laborers to come into the vineyard, praise God, laborers into the kingdom, and we already got them. Somebody asked me, how many you got already? All we need? No, brother, come on. You know, how many you got in the house? Well, not yet any, other than the normal, but we got them. How do you know you got it? Mark 11, right? He said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe, you receive it, and you shall have it. He said, whatsoever, if you desire for your house to be paid off, praise God, or a house you ain't got yet, or vehicle that you need, or whatever you need, the Bible says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you'll have it. This is the kingdom. I'm not even lack-minded anymore. I lack nothing, according to Scripture. I don't think poverty. I told a guy the other day, not even in this church, young guy, I said, look, you got to think rich, like rich people. Well, I ain't got no money, Mr. Weston. I said, what's your Bible say? Bible says, I don't know what the Bible says. I said, well, that's why you don't know what you got. You don't know what you got because you ain't getting in that Bible. If Johnny dies, I'm going to make a few phone calls, see if he left me anything. Because they got, no, I'm just kidding. Because they'll be like, don't call Scotty, man. We're going to fight in court over this. No, it's mine. Right? Well, that's what that Bible is. He said he's give you all things that pertains to life and godliness. You know, I'm not raising my grandkids. I'm enjoying them. Travis and them dealing with that. But I raised and enjoyed Travis. You know why I did? This is the only reason I believe I did. Because I went to the Lord and I said, God, I don't know how to be a father. God, teach me how to be a father, Lord. I want to know how to be a father you want me to be, God. I want to know how to be a husband that you want me to be, God. Help me to be a father. Help me to be. And God spoke to me and he said, I've anointed you to be a father. You don't have to try to be a father. He said, you just raise him. He said, you'll have wisdom as you need it because you've acknowledged me. Proverbs 3 says, acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways and he'll direct our path. It kind of shocks people when I tell them, my son, he's 32 years old, he's never raised his voice. Now, I'm sure he's went to Beth and griped about me and went to Travis and griped about me. I'm sure he has. I don't know about it. I've not heard about it. But he's never one time raised his voice to me. And it's not because he's scared of me. He's bigger than I am, but I'm tougher. But he's bigger. But it's respect. See, God honored me because I honored him in that. That brought honor to me from God and favor from God and respect from him. See, I don't try to get people to respect me. I earn respect. You earn respect. You know, well, if they acknowledge me at work, you know. No. You just work as unto the Lord, right? Do your work as unto the Lord, and God will cause you to be noticed. We went in on the job the other day, and he told Travis, the owner, this second job we did about 7 years ago, I guess. He comes in there and he tells Travis, that's why. Look at this, how it looks. Look how good it looks. He said, that's why I'll never use nobody ever, never use nobody else. Went down here, went and give a price on a job down here at Fieldstone Meats. I think it's Fieldstone or something. And he had called somebody else and got a price, you know. And I went in there and the dude, I told him, I said, sign this, you want it, sign it. Well, the guy called me that's over that, he's out of town or something. He called me up and he said, well, now you was a couple of $100. You didn't really stay in touch with me. He's chewing me out a little bit. You didn't really stay in touch with me. He said, and you was a couple of $100 higher than the other guy. And, you know, I waited till he got done. I said, well, I should have stayed in contact with you. I said, but you know, if you want to go ahead and use them, nah, that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem with it. No, you're going to do it. But I mean you blah, 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 blah. What's that? It's favor. I'm higher. We don't really know why we go. We know you're getting it. See, you might not even be the most favorite that somebody would choose, but you're the one. You're the one. Promotion comes from the Lord. You're trying to work for promotion. No, God's turning things around. I'm telling you from now and through the next year, you're going to see God turn things around in the way you feel, the way you are. There's been a release in this nation of the power of God through the people of God. We are the restraining force of evil on this earth. It's not God. Satan is not God's adversary. Satan was defeated through Jesus. Satan is our adversary. He's the one coming against you, trying to get you not to go to church, trying to get you not to read, trying to get you not to pray, trying to get you not to be in agreement with your spouse. See, if me and Teresa realize when we're not in agreement together, our prayers are hindered according to Scripture. So we try to stay in agreement and not no conflict in the house ever. because I don't want to say, oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you that this need is met. And Satan say, you know it ain't happening. And may believe it. See, God said, Paul said, but my God will supply all of your needs. How many is that? How many needs you got? God's done supplied it. Yeah, but brother, you know, no, don't doubt the word. Just don't doubt it. Don't let Satan, what if it don't work out? Don't let him say that to you. That's right. What if it does? Most of the time I come back and say, you wouldn't even be talking to me if you thought it wouldn't. You're telling me so I'll believe it won't, and then it can't. But I'm not listening to you because I know according to the word and according to the one I know, it will. I'm telling you, God is going to vindicate every one of you that has been spoken lies to. You've been spoken against. You've been lied about. You've been accused and all of that. And those seasons are not easy. We all going to go through them. We're all going to go through that. Jesus was accused and did nothing wrong, but he was vindicated. God's going to vindicate. He's going to turn that thing around and in the process of you being built to trust in him when oppression and persecution comes to you, in the middle of all of that, he's going to vindicate you when it's all said and done and going to work Romans 8:28 together. All things work together for the good to those that love God, and that's you, and those that are called according to his purpose. Now you've got to let that work. See, vengeance stops Romans 8. Unforgiveness stops whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, you receive. Because the very next after that, he says, and if you stand pray and you have anything against anybody, forgive them. So your heavenly Father can forgive you. That's right after that prayer, see. That's why I heard a preacher one time, he says, you got to forgive before they do anything to you. And I thought, how in the world do you do that? But forgive people before they do anything to you. All you're doing is making your heart and mind up, no matter what goes on in my life, somebody do something to me, black God, I'm going to forgive them like Jesus did and Stephen did when he was hanging on the cross. And you know what? Life got easier for me because he's been thousands of times. People do me wrong now. But love can't be offended. See, if you walk in love, your faith is going to work. Tell you this incident, and I'll try to close. Me and my brother had some, we had this. This was a Weston overhead door. We bought it together, and we opened a business here, and we stayed in business here for about a year and a half or something like that. Well, that back there was our warehouse. That's where we had our doors delivered and all that stuff. Well, he had brought some drums over, and I had some stuff here, and he had some drums. Well, I come in one day, praise the Lord, and I think I called them. They had the drums here, half of them here and half of them that stashed out there. On, I found them, you know, and I told him, I said, hey. I said, hey, man. I said, they tried to get you drums and everything. You better get over here and get you drums. Well, I went in there, and I told him, I said, he said, they get anything yours? I said, no, I got angels watching mine. He said, what? I said, I got angels watching my stuff. See, some of the church thinks that's plumb stupid for you to think that way. That's what the word says. And so I told him, I said, better go over here and get them. So I walked back in there and I told Satan, I said, you ain't got not one agent in Bluntsville that can take anything from me. I said, but if he was to slip something through, I said, you better remember what God's word tells me about you. You are defeated. And if I catch you, you're going to pay me 7 times what it's worth. Well, he said, well, it'll be all right. I got angels. You got angels. I said, okay. Next day, drums gone. Never seen them again. Never seen them drums again. And I thought, man, thank you, Lord, I had my angels. They didn't get not one wrench, not one ratchet, not anything out of the trucks and tools and stuff that we had here. All they wanted was them drums, I reckon. But see, you got angels encamped around about you. Hallelujah. But you know what? You can cause the angels to say, I wish you'd say different. I can't come in agreement with that. Why me, Lord? Why me? No, Lord, why not me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You counted me worthy to go through this season right here. And don't ever let Satan make you believe that God's putting things on you. That's a big one. God don't put nothing on you. Satan does. He puts it on you. The Bible says he won't allow no more to come on you than you're able to put up with. Praise God. Doesn't make a way of escape. Let's bow our heads.